Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Holkren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this time, we're not at the Steel Cat.
No, we're not.
We are in Chicago getting ready to go to a Cubs game, drinking KBS, bringing you a podcast.
Yes, we're working and we're drinking. This seems to be a theme now at this point. Eric got jealous last week because I could do the show while drinking. So you decided, you know what? I'm just going to go do this thing too.
Yes. So we are enjoying KBS from this year, which I'm excited. Ken, you've been quite the host the last 2 weeks, so I appreciate that. And we got a lot to talk about.
You said I'm getting paid today, so I'm certainly excited about
that. Yes, you are getting paid today.
I'm going to hold you to that. It's Snapchat official for those of you following me on Snapchat.
Is that the Ken Evans?
Yes. I think here in Rahm Emanuel, Chicago, that's legally binding.
It is a contract. Okay, so we are going to talk about UFC 211. We are also going to talk about the California Athletic Commission passing a groundbreaking weight-cutting package, which I think is pretty amazing. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
I think we're just going to end up ignoring California.
I don't know. I think you might be excited about this.
And no, then, I'm not saying I wouldn't be excited. It's just California.
Fair enough.
So there's theory. And then there's execution.
Well, the good news is it can't be any worse than New York. So that is always the good news
when
we're talking. Is that
our standard?
That is the gold standard of how terrible would it be at MSG? It's better in California. In fact, that should be their promotion line to get people to do events in California that they would normally want to do at MSG.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's me working on behalf of the CVB.
Okay.
The Tourism Commission in California, you are welcome for that free marketing.
Yeah, right, exactly. You hoping for a call from them to Advanced Digital at some point?
Please give me a call and we'll do some stuff.
He can make some things happen.
UFC 211, headlined by Stipe Miocic and Junior Dos Santos. The two fights at the top of the card, it's hard to put into words just how amazing the two people that won are as athletes. Like, Stipe's ability to understand that he was in really big trouble with those leg kicks and going, okay, this thing we've been working on, it's been there all night. I need to do it now, though, because I can't do much more of this damage to my leg.
Yeah, he said that he was catching those and they were square. And Junior thought the fight was going his way. He said that
it was.
At the press conference afterwards, he felt like everything was going where it needed to go. And he was landing that leg kick. And it's one of those things, those kicks, man, I've always been a sucker for him, so to speak, when I see those happen in fights. And it's something that maybe a casual fan, we were watching with some casual fans on Saturday night, don't quite get how destructive those are. And more fighters doing things like Junior Dos Santos does them would win some fights. I think that just really speaks to how strong Stipe is. Mentally, he was able to make a very quick adjustment, and he said, hey, I got to get out of this fight. By the way, it's 2 a.m, I'm going to send everybody home. So thank you for that, Stipe.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't want to harp on that too much, but I do think you've got a real problem, because you talked about the two fighters at the top of the card. And I understand things can go this way, especially when you have 5-round cards and possible decisions. I think you've still got a real problem. And I said this with Ronda Rousey, and I say it again, especially in the case where you could have had Stipe Miocic really showcase himself as that baddest man on the planet. Take that title that's traditionally been saved for that heavyweight champion in boxing, and now pretty much has been saved for that heavyweight champion in MMA. And you had him on at nearly 2 a.m, and I'm going to take this as entirely anecdotal, but we were watching with friends and casual fans. Three of those people left?
Three of them left,
before the main event.
Yep.
Your wife, who's a fan.
Yes.
Your wife went to bed, and then we had two other friends leave. One of those friends, big MMA fan.
Yes, a huge
actually
MMA.
Actually trained. He's actually been in the cage.
Yep.
Just, hey, man, I can't. I got kids. I got to get up in the morning. I just got to go. I got to go. And that was about right around the second round of Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And I think you've got an issue with Joanna. She's so dominant, but she's starting to land in that possible GSP Benson Henderson territory that they lived in for a while. Where, yeah, you've got this super dominant champion, but she didn't finish the fight. And I get it. She dominated that fight. It was a clinic. But at a certain point, you're wondering, okay, if you're able to beat somebody up that badly, for 2, 3, 4 rounds? Why aren't you finishing the fight? And I think we're starting to kind of see that with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I'm not taking a single thing away from what she did, but I think it affected the card as a whole, and I think there were probably fewer eyeballs on anybody who had a party, and there weren't a ton of, you know, Stipe parties going on. I get that. You know, we've got a certain group of friends, and we were together for other reasons as well, but anybody who had a similar situation lost a couple casual eyes before Stipe was able to go in there and do something pretty magnificent and spectacular, because we watched that fight for the first minute and go, oh boy, this is going to be a long night for Stipe. And Stipe did what you said. He changed things up. He goes, I don't want to keep doing this. Let's get this done. Let me get out of this round. And the way the heavyweight division's been the past couple years, he automatically puts himself on the list as one of the most dominant heavyweights, because there's not been a lot of title defenses multiple times in the UFC at that division.
No, I mean, he's tied for the record, right? Because there isn't anyone.
I think so, yeah.
Done it more than twice.
And
I
there's a really interesting article too. It's linked up on our Facebook page. If you missed it, you can dig back through the Deadspin article that talked about the heavyweight division and why there was maybe a lack of hype here. And it kind of goes back to Brock Lesnar and what happened there. And he was top of the world, and then you had Kane win over Brock. And then, of course, they put on what we all thought at the time was a great idea, a free fight on Fox, which popped the balloon. Because JDS won that fight in no time.
Yes, in 6 seconds.
Right, exactly. Yes. And then that fight basically has spiraled into nobody's been able to kind of have that hype machine rolling behind them. You've got a guy now in Stipe. He's an American fighter, but he's got worldwide appeal. And the dude was on at 2 a.m. I still think that's a problem, Eric. And I don't want to go to the boxing strategy here where you're going to have two fights and then your main fight. But I also look at these cards and wonder maybe if this wouldn't have been better. Look, I get it. You've got to start the card somewhere. We could have lost that David Branch fight.
Yes, we should have
undercard,
and we should have, right? Because
I mean, you can make an argument for Frankie and Damian, and at that point Yair and even Jorge. I mean, those were cool. Put those on the main card, but you know you've got two title fights. I'm guessing you paid the bill that night. I'm guessing you would have been fine paying for that four-fight card.
100%. 100%, because you and I have talked about this a million times, that for us, the UFC on Fox model is amazing. I'm done by 10. Sign me up all day long.
Oh, when they have a main UFC card.
Sign me up all day long, right?
And I get, because it sort of runs to 10:30 if it goes late.
Sure.
But they know to start that thing at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And it's going to be done, and that's because they're TV people. And even boxing doesn't work like this. The main boxing cards, there was the once-in-a-lifetime Mayweather-Pacquiao weird pay-per-view thing. But even that fight was starting before midnight.
Yes. And
I mean, this was almost 2 a.m.
And there was a time that happened consistently in the UFC. That's not happening now. You know, because
let me correct myself, too, because somebody's going to call or tweet us. I don't think they'll call. We don't have a phone yet. I didn't get home till almost 2 a.m, excuse me. But yeah. I mean, but literally, that fight, if it had gone the distance, Stipe's fight could have lasted till 1:30.
Yep.
1:30 before we even had a decision. Because I remember I left your place, it was just after 1. That's a problem. I still think that's a big problem.
And I would say, they don't even need to be honest with you, they don't even need to change the time. And this is what I was talking about yesterday with a bunch of guys at work, is that they need to work, and you have said this 100 times in private. I don't know that you've ever said this on the show, but the fact that we both believe, and you've been pioneering this, that since Dana and Vince are tight, like, they just need to loan a WWE guy to run them through production, because where they actually screw this all up is in these packages.
Yes.
That they don't need to run. They've already paid this.
They can run all the packages. It's just the pacing seems so off on the show, and it takes so long to get from here to here to here to here to here. You can run the packages, and I made fun of the packages, because especially I'm fighting for my family. Yes, we do.
All, yes,
we go to work for our families. We do what? Yeah. Unless you're a sociopath, that's what you're doing in life. You're taking care of those you love. How unique your perspective is, random fighter A or B at 9:15 on a Saturday night. Anyhow, it just seems like it just drags to get, because if you look at these times on these fights, I mean, yes, Joanna went a half hour. I think that's a problem. I don't know what you do about it. She's a dominant champion, but she didn't finish the fight.
And we'll talk about this, because I have some thoughts about that last round. But I still think that somebody should be making the educated on the fly decision that thing goes a half hour. We're not running the Stipe package.
Oh, or here's another thing, and I was kind of kicking it around, and I listened to Luke Thomas yesterday. I think we listened to different parts of his show. I listened a little bit, and they talked a little bit about Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and yeah, she's a dominant fighter, but is she a fighter you want to watch? And I think maybe...
Yes, 100%.
You want to watch her still.
100%.
You don't think, though, for some people... And yep. I'm not that person yet, but I certainly think I'm landing over there farther than you. For some people, they don't want to deal with that. Like, be dominant and finish the fight. I want to see a fight finish. And yes, there's no way in hell anybody could... I had that fight at probably 50-43.
Sure.
I mean, that's how dominant that fight really was. And I know one judge had it at 50-44. But still, after a while, how long can I just watch somebody peck away at somebody? Which is essentially what she did. Because there were no blows that landed. I go, ooh, oh. No, she caught her here and there, but just kept pecking away. And again, this is entertainment on top of it being an athletic competition. That's why they charge us the money. That's also why they put her on a card with another fight.
100%. Now,
so here's my theory.
Okay.
Or here's my proposition, I should say. I know that this would go against some of the old school booking. If you're going to do two title fights, why not open a card with a title fight? Would that be so bad? Would it be so bad to have maybe the David Branch fight and Frankie fight and then Joanna Jędrzejczyk? And then maybe we see Damian Maia. And I know you're probably going to get in a little bit of a hairy situation because it's the female fighters. Because you're going to have people saying, oh, why would you do this to the women? This could be the same thing if you want to put DJ on a card.
Which you should do to DJ, right?
Right, exactly. Or, I mean, we've got a couple divisions tied up by Connor, so I don't have another example right now. But, yeah, why not open the card with DJ? All those eyeballs coming in. We don't start the fights for 15 minutes, Eric. It seems like that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to wait 15 minutes for the David Branch fight. And again, I'm not taking anything away. That was a nice win for him. But that should not have been on the main card that night with so much going on.
It was, hooray for him, right? It wasn't a great fight. It certainly wasn't a great fight to make up for the DQ right as the prelims end.
Which was, to be honest, for us, we were watching a stream. It was very kind of hard to tell what was going on there. But that also left us with a what the hell's happening kind of feeling.
Sure. And then you lead into this fight of two guys that you don't, if you're a casual fan and that room was filled with casual, mm-hmm. they don't know who these guys are, nor do they care. And you and I barely know who David Branch is.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think opening it probably is something they would never do, but I
think if you pull that David Branch fight out, and again, poor David Branch, we're not picking on you, bro. It's just you're on the card and that's what we're looking at. How big would that feel is if we opened up 9:15 or 10:15, boom, Joanna Jędrzejczyk is defending her title to start the card. If you want to go back to that WWE model, they've done that a couple times here
sure.
and there. And they've done that, you know, to make sure that they've got eyeballs at the beginning now because their model has changed. If I've bought the pay-per-view, cool, awesome. We get to see this championship fight kick things off at 10:15. At 7:15 if you're on the West Coast. Things would feel like they're moving. Joanna can do her five rounds. You can give her a good after-fight segment and really talk this woman up and this, that, and the other thing. And then you go, okay, for lack of a better term, palate cleanser. We're going to have a great contenders match at featherweight with Frankie Edgar, who'll never die. Every time we throw him in there against somebody who's like, eh, that guy's going to end Frankie, boom. I said this last week on the show. That would be the second fight of the night. You could have Damian Maia and Jorge Masvidal, which was another fun fight. Went the distance, but still another fun fight. And then you would have had a first-round knockout. And again, we don't know how the fights are going to go beforehand. But think about how that timing would have set up. You'd have a 25-minute fight. You would have had Frankie Edgar beating Yair. You would have had a 15-minute decision and a heavyweight championship fight that was the first round. Pacing-wise... That's 1,000 times better than what happened. You could have almost gone as late without it feeling as late.
And that's the problem is that I think between perhaps you're right, the way that they lay these things out, the fact that you start the event with a fight that has no ramifications really at all to your everyday
right.
life.
And I know that guys like Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, there's been a back and forth on whether or not it's better to be late in that slot or actually be on the pay-per-view. And I get it. Probably still better to be late in that slot. But it feels like we've got this letdown. And you know you've got two. Again, I'm not saying you do this every card, but you've got two championship fights on the card. And if you have that happen, you know there's a possibility where there's going to be 50 minutes of fighting without a KO or a submission or a TKO. That's not a bad thing, but you have to inherently know that that's a possibility and think about how you're laying those fights out. Because if Stipe hadn't finished that fight, at that point, we would have watched 13 rounds of fighting without a definitive winner. And I say that definitively as in, oh, this round looked like somebody was going to knock somebody out.
Sure.
Like, I mean, even in the Damian Maia fight, and I thought he did amazing against Jorge, and he was in much better positions, he never really looked like he was about to lock that in. A couple times he came close, but we would have essentially had 13 rounds of fighting of back and forth if the Stipe fight had gone back and forth for five rounds.
Yep.
And I think setting yourself up for that, if you can avoid it, is a bad idea. And they can avoid it. Two championships, co-main events. Let's start them from now on. We're going to start with a championship fight. We're going to end with a championship fight. I think it would be cool. I think that would be a cool way to kind of run the event.
Well, and
think about our interest level at that point, too. We would have all been engaged immediately.
Well, now you're telling a really interesting story, because if you put, let's say you move Damian Maia and Masvidal to co-main with the number one contendership on the line. Now we're totally mirroring the WWE model, mm-hmm. which I get it. Send the hate mail if you want to, but guess what, guys? There's an entertainment
factor.
They can't
call us. We haven't got a phone.
And you've got to pay that $4 billion somehow, and you do that with entertaining.
And that's the thing. They still got to get that money back.
Yep.
And they haven't even come close since the sale.
No, and this was
smart did the Fertittas look?
Super smart.
I mean, we knew they were smart, but it's like they picked the minute to sell.
Which is, of course...
The minute to sell.
Which is, of course, this is a total aside, and we won't go down this rabbit hole, but I will just say this as an aside, which is, of course, why wouldn't they start a venture capital company out, you know, with the money?
Oh,
they
yeah.
got? Because they clearly know when to get in and when to get out, so...
Yeah, and I've said this over and over again, you know, and this is another aside when we talk about things like this. Most people in the world have no idea what to do in these situations. And a lot of people just... You can be smart about it and get in and get out and make some money. These guys were dead on.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were dead on, yep. And they did it perfectly. And it's an interesting thing. I read that, I don't know if it was Lorenzo, either called Dana.
Lorenzo texted him
after the DQ.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm not in this anymore, but you guys got to get instant replay. You got to finish. You got to fix this. And then Dana went right after the show. Yeah, we got to fix this. You listen. When smart friends talk to you, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was happening in that
situation.
The problem
is they're not in charge.
No, they're not. But, you know, they called the guy who's sort of in charge.
You know. No. I mean, like, the UFC can't make that call.
No, fair enough. But I think they've got enough swing. If they wanted to, they could make some
things
happen.
As Dana said, they will drive the bus, right? But it's not as if we can't have this change by next week.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, too. They could drive the bus a little more if they – and, again, I only heard Luke Thomas's show yesterday. I know Dustin Poirier was – you know, he's appealing.
Yes, as he should.
Well, he said he wouldn't do that if he would have just got his money. It's not even about the wins or losses.
No. He doesn't care.
Which I disagree with. I don't think that's as forward thinking as you need to be, and I'm sure his team around him knows that. Because what's going to happen is in 2 or 3 years, guys like you and me are going to be looking at a record real quick and not necessarily remember what that was. So you still want to go get the win or the no contest and validate it. I was very surprised when I heard that, because traditionally – it feels like UFC has taken care of that. Has it gotten more corporate to the point where not happening?
I mean, I can't speak to that, but what I can say is when you hear guys like Luke Rockhold and the list of other people who are talking about unionizing, it's things like this statement, true or not, and that's, of course, we've got to take all this stuff with a grain of salt because we don't actually know, did they pay Dustin, did they not pay Dustin?
They hadn't as of Monday.
If they hadn't,
which
right?
was surprising me, because usually that just feels like, we talked about Dana White doing Dana White shit last week. That just feels like a situation in the past where Dana White would have walked out and said, "Hey, he got screwed. We're going to pay him."
And to that end, he did, and then didn't do the next part. Right? He did come out and say,
"Oh, did he?"
He did come out and say that was the wrong call.
Okay.
You know, said the wrong call. So if it's the wrong call, well then.
Pay the guy's win bonus because he's
pay the guy,
and that's the one area where, you know, a lot of people think I'm anti-fighter for some reason, because I talk about the guys on the low end of the card and say, you know what, suck it up. This is what happens in boxing. This is what happens at every low level sport. You know, not everybody's going to make $1 million. I don't care if the place sold for $4 billion. I will say, for a guy who's in that mid to upper level like a Dustin Poirier, that guy's living kind of on the edge with mm-hmm. the camp expenses
yep.
and his sponsorships and those type of things. He's at the point where he's making a living doing this, and he's fighting guys like Eddie Alvarez. You know, he's that guy that I really feel for. The upper tier guys, they're making a lot of money. It doesn't matter. The lower tier guys, look, I get it. It sucks. But that's what happens when you're just coming in. Guys like Eddie, you know, he's probably a little more taken care of. But Dustin Poirier, he's not that guy that's really broken through yet. We all know who he is in the MMA community. But, yeah, he's a guy that's got to pay for his camp. And as he takes better fights, he's got to pay better guys.
Yeah.
And do all of those things that are necessary.
And he's also that guy who, to your point, is on the precipice of being the next cowboy, right? Because fans love him.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Alvarez. He's right there in that little lightweight division, which used to be the Shark Tank, is now like we're looking for those next contenders sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. So he's, of course, appealing that, which I think he should. The reasons that he's doing it, I get it. Do whatever you need to. But this is not a no contest, and they do absolutely need instant replay. This is a DQ. It's a clear-cut, absolute DQ. Yeah, we were watching a stream. It wasn't that great. I went back and watched it a couple times. It's a DQ.
Well, and here's the problem is we've got—
I use my own instant replay.
No, not that. the problem, too, is I think I love Joe Rogan. I think in some of these situations he confuses things unnecessarily. And he started talking about the old rules and the new rules. And you and I, who pay attention to this, start looking at each other and going, wait, what is going – that's he's down. But Joe's talking about old rule and new rules, and he's very animate, and he wasn't quite explaining what he was trying to say. So he confused people that knew what was going on.
Yeah, and so let me explain that in Texas, you're dealing with the old rules.
But are we?
Yes.
Okay.
The old rules stand in Texas.
Yeah, but the knee's down no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's new rules or old rules. That's my point.
Yeah, okay.
So Joe doesn't need to talk about that.
No,
that's
but
what was confusing the hell out of me.
Okay, but add another layer of confusion that we're in love with a sport where each state does whatever the hell they feel like.
I don't think that's right. But again, this is if it is or isn't, I can tell you this. Joe Rogan just caused that confusion. And I know he did that back with the Weidman fight, where I don't feel it was as clear cut as he was making it out to be the night that it happened. I think if you want to go back and look at that fight, sure, you can make a case for that. But, and again, I love the dude. I listen to the podcast.
Which way are you going on this?
No, the night that Weidman.
Yeah, which you think it was a DQ or you think it was legal?
I think it was illegal. I don't think it was as clear cut as Joe Rogan made it, though. I mean, if you start looking at the tape and going, oh, was his hand down or was the knee bringing the hand up or what was going on there?
See, I think it was totally legal. I think he was picking him up and kneeing him in the head, which I think is legal. And again,
which is interesting because I do think, but Joe Rogan was adamant that was illegal. He was adamant what you think was legal was illegal. And again, you don't want wishy-washy commentators.
No.
I just feel like sometimes that happens.
And he's making, you know, gut reactions in the heat of the moment. And one of the things that Sean...
And that's probably... And honestly, we broadcast. We've been in media a long time. That's probably the right thing to do. It gives people something to talk about, and you don't end up sitting on the fence.
But one of the things
that... That night confused me, caused confusion on Saturday night. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I remembered, I'm like, oh, Joe Rogan was really adamant about this last time. And, you know, Eric thinks it was legal. I think it was illegal. Joe Rogan was, you know, jumping off his chair. So do I trust him this time? So that added to the confusion, which would be fine. For entertainment purposes, ladies and gentlemen, this all would be amazing, except we don't have review to fix it.
Correct.
So you kind of end up screwing a fighter in this regard.
Well, and I would say Sean Desai, who used to be on the show, you know, his best piece of advice, if you really
love... God rest his soul.
He's still alive.
Oh!
One of his best pieces of advice, if you really love this sport and, like, want to learn a lot about it, is to watch these fights with the sound off. Mm-hmm. And that way, you're making the decision on your own with your own eyes, and you're not being driven towards a decision. So go to Saturday night and talk about Alvarez and Poirier. Joe is driving you towards a decision, whether or not you agree with that decision.
See, and what's interesting, and I love Joe, because I didn't agree with him before. I was so much more skeptical this time. I was so, because you, I was at your house. I was looking at Eric like, no, I don't know, man. I don't know. And you're like, dude, his knee was down. I don't know, man. Joe Rogan effed this up a couple weeks ago. Like, he was sort of right, but it wasn't as, you know, he made it seem a lot clearer than it was. So I thought that was interesting. I think that fight was in a perfect spot too, kind of rolling all the way back to what we're talking about with pacing on this show.
I'm excited for the second one.
See,
I'll tell you that.
It's an interesting thing to be talking about too, because we've been talking about lackluster UFC pay-per-views in 2017 and how we haven't had a big fight feel. We probably had the best card of the year, and it pushed so late into the night that you had people that were diving out and people that just couldn't keep up with it, or people that were deciding, hey, this thing's going to be until 1 or 2 in the morning, so I'm going to watch it on a stream tomorrow morning, which I think is a problem when the UFC is trying to convert interest into dollars here.
Well, and this has always been a problem when we go back to whatever year that was, 2006, 5, whatever, where Dana starts talking about the aspirational, if you watch Gary Vaynerchuk talks about wanting to buy the Jets. Dana's aspirational, I want to be the next NFL. Well, guess what? NFL is not on until 2 in the morning.
He was going to be bigger than the NFL. Dana White, there's a soccer match, there's a baseball game, there's a football game, and there's a fight all on the same corner. Which side are you walking to?
The fight.
Well, I'm going to walk to the fight if it's not 2 in the morning.
Right.
If I got to wait till 2 in the morning, I'll watch the football game that's on at 4 in the afternoon.
Which I think this will be really interesting when we...
Didn't we a couple years ago... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, go ahead. I just don't want to lose this thought. A couple years ago, we were loving the Saturday afternoon cards. Remember when we were having cards when Fight Pass started up? I'm like, this is amazing.
We're watching Germany,
card at 3.
And we're going, right.
Yeah, we're watching cards at 3, and they had really cool fights, and the thing was done at 7, so we could still go out that night. Or if we wanted to just have a party at your house or my house, we could just get wasted that day and just day drink away and just watch the fights and Uber. Like, what happened to those? What happened? Like, only time we get that is when Mark Hunt fights because he, like, refuses to leave New Zealand.
Right.
So I thought that was cool. And then, we had the Fox fights you brought up earlier. Like, man, how cool did that? How awesome was that?
But that, to me, that's how you win this battle of getting
people. CBS was getting huge ratings with crap because it was on at 7 o'clock.
And that's how you win this battle, right? So as they're moving towards 18 where they're going to renegotiate, I really do. And
ESPN is not going to spend a dime for something that runs at 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time.
They are not going to do that. And I get on the West Coast, this makes for a really interesting argument as it's happening in Las Vegas, but I'm sorry to tell you guys, like, New York drives the bus. So, you know,
even with that Vegas tilt, and we do think there's a huge part of that because you get out of the time zone, you don't kind of realize what's going on with the rest of the, shoot. I don't say that because Eric's mother's down the hall.
She's fine. She's heard it before.
You and I have been in Vegas. It only takes a couple days to get that little haze going on and going, what time is it? Well, I don't know, man. Let's just stay.
I've been
in
a casino for 3 days.
Right, exactly. Right. I have no idea what time it is anymore. So I get it. You can kind of lose perception there. Boxing doesn't lose that, though. Those fights are on by 11. And that may not seem like a huge deal if you're 25 years old and you're listening to this podcast. And God bless you. But you're starting to ask for dollars from somebody who's 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 32, 35 with kids. You got to do crap the next. It's Mother's Day the next day.
Right. So, and then take this a step further. If you're getting people out the door of the arena at 9:30 or 10, think of all of the restaurant reservations you now get.
Mm-hmm.
The extra two hours of drinking.
And again, this was in Dallas, so it's not the same. But if you're in Vegas, that doesn't matter.
But when you argue to Dana, like, that's what his...
But if you've got the Vegas mindset, it doesn't matter because everybody's going to the restaurants and bars anyways. It doesn't matter what time because it's Vegas.
But they do close eventually.
Not in Vegas.
Some of the restaurants do is what
I'm just saying. No, not really in Vegas. Because I remember,
what I'm saying is, like, the high end, like, if we're dealing with the people that spent $1,500 to sit ringside.
Yeah, but they don't close. Dude. No, I'm not trying to just be argumentative. Those places really don't close, but I think that also speaks to what I'm saying as losing some focus there. Like, those high end places don't close because that's when the money's coming in. So nothing really ever closes there. But there's nothing like that anywhere else in the country. And
yes.
I love that it's the fight capital of the world, but I was the only one. I was the only one back a couple years ago when we covered, one of the Mayweather fights that went to the post, and you were there. We had two other colleagues there. You all bailed is the wrong word. You were smart.
I bailed.
So I stayed, and there were some interesting things going on, and then I realized essentially I stayed up to the point where I was on my plane, and God bless MMA journalists that do this all the time because I've done it on occasion, and you end up effing up your week. Like, your week is screwed up because I walked down the next morning. And you said, so what'd you do last night? I was at the presser till like 20 minutes ago. I had to run up to my room and pack. That's the only time in my life I was able to fly first class. And somebody wanted to switch me seats. Not, I didn't have to go to coach, but I was going to have to go to a less first class seat. And I was so tired. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, bro. It's like, but my buddy's sitting there. I'm like, nope, that seat does not lean like this seat. And I've been up all night and I'm going to sleep. So I'm sorry. I guess I'm just lucky I didn't get my ass beat because I think that was a United flight.
Right. Yes. That was before they fought their customers.
We weren't trying to get them as a sponsor, were we?
No, we were not.
So
no.
I guess I'm lucky.
Although they'd be a great fight sponsor. They seem to be pretty good at it. So, yeah. So getting back to the card.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm just going to go over here and drink.
You've got Damian Maia, who is now the number one contender to Tyron Woodley after that.
He looked very impressive.
Super impressive.
Well, and I say that because I know I'm the guy that usually in a fight like that would go, eh, what happened there? He did not have to take that fight. That was a very dangerous fight
for him.
Super
dangerous fight.
And I thought he looked really, really good in that fight. And Jorge did everything he had to do to basically not get submitted in that fight.
And I will say this. For those of you who are the uninitiated MMA fan who haven't really understood Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which I totally understand, let me say, after watching Saturday night, Masvidal is not a guy that you want to be on the ground with unless your name is Damian Maia. Because I don't think anyone has ever stopped that as much as he has stopped that for 15 whole minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, that shows how good Jorge is.
Amazing.
Because, there were so many bad positions. And again, we were watching with casual fans because they were still there at that point.
Right.
And even they were watching like, oh, he's about to choke him out. He's about to do this. He's about to do that. I'm like, usually, but this, the wrists were where they needed to be. He could turn around when he needed to be. I mean, his timing, I think this was a very impressive fight for Masvidal considering the positions he was in much of the night.
Yeah, and this is one of those fights that Ken talks about all the time where both guys walk out with a bit of shine on them where I can't wait to see Masvidal's next fight because I think it was that impressive. And Maia has waited for this title shot forever that I'm equally excited about. And what I've always liked about Maia is he's done this on his own terms. Was that the most exciting fight you've seen in the UFC? No, but he's a magician who's really awesome at one trick and has built up a repertoire, I should say, of moves to get to that trick.
Well,
right? Like,
what is it? It's the 10,000 kicks or it's the one kick 10,000 times?
But much like Jacare, who I know lost, right? But both of those guys have learned these skill sets to get them to the positions to do the thing that they're magical at.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Maia was able to do that to Masvidal is nothing short of spectacular, along with the fact that Masvidal surviving for 15 minutes is brilliant in the same way that Jessica Andrade gave it everything she had on Saturday night and was a game opponent for all 25 minutes. Yes, did she get thrown through a wood chipper? Absolutely she did, but she didn't fall down, she didn't waver, she didn't quit, she kept coming. And that's what you want from your athletes in this sport. Those two guys, Masvidal and Jessica Andrade, I cannot
say... Andrade reminded me of when GSP lost to Hughes the first time. Like, she's just going to keep at it.
Yep.
She's going to keep at it and keep working, and she probably will hold that title even if it's just because Joanna falls off or jumps divisions.
And let's remember, guys, like she's beat everybody else in the division. So
she's not done.
No, not done by a long shot and certainly still a contender. Both of those guys had impressive nights, even though they lost, which is, for me, one of the things that I love about the sport is that you can watch two competitors like that. And I'm going to say this, as I said last week, there's nobody, zero people that are going to beat Joanna. Zero.
Which makes it so frustrating that she just doesn't finish the damn fight.
Well, I think she got so tired in that final round. You know, she worked a ton on wrestling, moving to ATT and all that. Hang on. You've had your 40 minutes of talking.
Well, I'm getting paid by the minute now.
I know. You know, I think the changes to the camp clearly took a little bit away in the end of that fight. She was looking at the clock for the whole final round.
You thought she was going to retire.
Because she just looked like she was not having fun. Like, this is not fun. I can't wait for it to be over. When will this be over? Is it over yet? Okay, it's over, right? I would imagine by the next fight, she will look a lot different. But she did not look great in that final round of that fight. All that to be said, she still was annihilating Jessica Andrade.
Oh, for sure. Which still made it frustrating, though. She just couldn't seem to finish the fight.
And then we spoke a little bit about the amazing, unageable Frankie Edgar, who who added a verb to the MMA lexicon that I'm calling getting yourself yayered, because he beat the shit out of that kid.
I told you last week. I said, look, this doesn't look like a fight Freddie should win or Frankie should win. I'm not going to pick against him anymore because every time we get to one of these fights, we're like, okay, this guy's gonna push Frankie out. He's just gotten too old. He's gotten a lot of fight wear, and bam! I mean, look at that performance.
He destroyed that guy. And you know, yes, we can talk about the end swell and was it used properly, and the cut man any good? You could talk about all this stuff.
So now, fill me in a little bit on that, just because you mentioned it off air earlier, and I'd like to hear a little more about that.
Well, so if you were listening to Luke Thomas yesterday, he was going on quite the rant about how it was a terrible use of the end swell, which is, if you don't know, is that piece of metal that they use to get the swelling to go down to the eye. And what people are complaining about, if you're watching on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever, is he had two cuts, one above his eye, one on his eye, and one below his eye. And the end swell was... three cuts. Two cuts and a swelling eye.
Okay.
The end swell wasn't used on the two things that were impending his vision. It was used on below his cheek.
I noticed that. Yeah.
And so they're saying that that's a terrible use of the end swell. Totally get it. It doesn't change what was happening to him in the ring.
No, the damage was put there by Frankie, and that's what happened. And
it doesn't matter.
No, that matters. The damage was put there by Frankie.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you can complain about his ridiculous, idiotic use of the end swell, and I will 100% back you on that. Mm-hmm. What I will tell you is it doesn't matter. Frankie Edgar was going to beat the tar out of that child for 15 straight minutes if that's what it took. Now, do I think that he's still going to beat Jose Aldo? I don't think so.
I don't even want... Look, I know that Jose beat him.
I don't think so.
No, I know that Jose beat him. I look at the division, I look at the moneymaker, and I look what happened. I'm like, I want the Connor-Frankie matchup.
I'm down with that. I don't think he beats Connor, but I want the fight.
I want the fight. I want to see what happens in that fight with Frankie Edgar, who, like, every time we count him out and down, he decides, Chad Mendez, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat Uriah Faber. I'm going through now the list of guys who we thought were going to put him out of this. We even thought Jeremy Stevens was just going to, okay, he's gotten old. He just lost against Aldo. That's going to be it. BJ Penn, he beat him. I mean, this is the guy who, other than those couple losses to Benson Henderson, I mean, never really has had a bad streak in his career. He looks like he's about to, and then he turns the thing around. And he looks dominant, and he looked dominant against the guy a lot of people thought was going to be in championship contention on Saturday night.
Which leads me to my next point for today, which is talking about what's next for Stipe. And I've seen a lot of you on our Facebook page. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talking about Francis Ngannou. And let me tell you guys, I love Ngannou. I'm all in on Ngannou. But if you move him too fast, he's going to end up in the Yair world.
Do you care, though, if you're trying to build Stipe? Do you care? I know you can't decide on the decisions and how the fight is going to end.
You do, because I think there's a better fight. I am all excited. If you want to do the winner of Mark Hunt and Derek Lewis, especially if it's Derek Lewis, I'm all in on that fight.
I'm bigger on Mark Hunt just for the... I think you're still trying to build up name cachet here, and you want Mark Hunt because he's that guy who's
got
a
little
bit of name.
To sell pay-per-views? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you do.
Sell pay-per-views and build your guy up.
But I think the reason I would like that fight better is, one, because Mark Hunt brings name recognition. Number two, Derek Lewis can survive a loss because his style of fighting is a brawler, not really as technical as Ngannou, where if Ngannou loses to Stipe, he's got a lot more to lose in that than he does to win. Because if you watch how people are talking about Rodriguez this week, it's as if his career is over.
Hmm.
Right? Because he gets beat pillar to post by Frankie Edgar. What's next for Rodriguez?
You know what?
And I know it will bounce back.
That's everybody being a victim of the moment, though. I mean, Yair is going to have another chance.
I know it will bounce back. He's young and all of that stuff. But what I'm saying is I think Ngannou has more to lose by being rushed to that spot than Derek Lewis does if he beats Mark Hunt and gets that spot.
I heard an interesting... Luke Thomas, by the way, thank you apparently for prepping our show. This is what happens when we do it on Tuesdays. He had a great comment. Is the best heavyweight in the UFC... Was he there Saturday night, and was he commentating?
Yes, he was.
He's just not fighting at that division.
But you have to get Kane out. I've said for everybody, and every time we have these fights, I get texts from people who are
talking about DC.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
But because
Kane
is still at heavyweight, they're not going to be in the same division.
Okay, but Kane... I love Kane Velasquez. He's not healthy.
I'm just telling you, he needs to call it quits, and this is game on, guys. You, get
you think DC will jump
you
once
get
a, he's...
His... You get another... Of course he will, because okay. he knows that he's not going to hold that belt in July.
Oh, he... Okay, let's not get too far ahead, because I really think John Jones and his ring rust, they were bad enough last time. They're going to be even worse this time.
Guys, you're going to love the March to July on this show is going to be...
Sandblasting prostitutes. Come on.
Gonna be amazing.
This is gonna be so good. This is gonna be so good.
Did you just say sandblasting prostitutes?
Isn't that what DC said?
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Is that what he said? Sandblast? Yeah, hold on. Yes. I can look up the quote.
No, please. I'm sure we need it for context.
Just a second here. Okay, Google. What did Daniel Cormier say about prostitutes? Let's see. See if Google talks. Oh, she didn't want to answer that one verbally.
Shocking. Okay.
Okay, but I can just say I love this DC. This DC is going to be amazing leading up because he doesn't care anymore.
No, I do too, but I think he has longevity. Got it.
Yes.
You're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, he did say sandblasting prostitutes in reference to John Jones.
So what I'm saying is I think you get a couple more years out of DC if he moves to heavyweight. I think those cuts are brutal, and I think the sooner we can end this trilogy or whatever the hell you want to call
this. I think he's going to beat Jones definitively.
And if he does, then he's done.
How awesome would that be?
Even if he does, I'm still right. There's nothing else to
do.
No,
you're 100% right. Light heavyweight. No, that's an amazing thing then because I'm not going to be that sad for John Jones who could never get... He's a dude that will... Look, John Jones is going to be a dude, if that taste is in his mouth, I wouldn't be surprised if he drove off a cliff. I'm not saying he will... And John Jones is mentally, nobody knows where he is.
Sure, yeah.
And he's built himself up in that way, like when we got worried about Ronda Rousey. Well, if John Jones, after 3 years of all this talk and after winning the first time, doesn't get this win, somebody keep an eye on that dude. That's all I'm saying.
I just want to say, for the record, I would much rather he retire like Ronda. I'm just going to say that for the record.
No, I would too.
Just want to say that.
But I'm just saying, like, John Jones, I think mentally is in a weird place. And I think DC was able, after all the crazy stuff that happened and trying to get the rematch together and kind of getting pissed at the fans and not quite understanding what people were cheering John Jones for, is now in the perfect place. And everybody who doesn't watch wrestling is going to be really pissed. But there's always that moment in WWF or WWE where the heel is really embraced by the crowd. So all of the stuff where Daniel Cormier did, quote unquote, the right things, he took his vitamins and said his prayers.
Yep.
Didn't get him the cheers.
Till we got to SummerSlam.
Trust me. You know, if he's out there talking about sandblasting prostitutes, this crowd is going to jump right to his side.
Yep.
And be right on his side. And the amazing thing, you know why he did this, right? Did you hear the story?
Why he did what?
You know about Roman Reigns, right?
Yes.
So he's a big star in the WWE. They've basically been saying over and over again that he's the next big thing in the division. He beat The Undertaker and blah, 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 blah. Well, essentially, the crowd doesn't like him very much. Well, he went out the day after WrestleMania, stood in the center of the ring while the crowd booed for 15 minutes. 15 minutes on live television. You know that's unheard of.
Yes.
Just to sit there silent. And he said, "It's my yard now," and then he walked out. And DC said he watched that and realized that he could use the crowd however he wanted, no matter how they felt about him. And that was 4 days before he went in there. I don't care. I'm making money and winning championships. You all can boo me all you want. So I think we've seen a switch flip in Daniel Cormier that's going to make this rematch amazing. I think he's going to be looser than ever. As long as there's no problem with the cut, I'm saying it. Bet your money on DC here. You're going to have a very ring-rusted and mentally questionable John Jones going into that cage coming in July.
And none of that actually matters because I still think whatever happens after this fight, he ends up in heavyweight and wins the championship.
Yeah, but does he, though, if he loses? Like, because that's going to then discredit your heavyweight division. Like, the lighter guy couldn't win. And then, hell, look,
the lighter
let's
guy,
take the fantasy
The lighter
booking.
Guy, like... was pulled off of a bench to win the heavyweight championship in Strikeforce. Like,
no, I get that. I get that. I know.
He was an alternate.
I'm saying the guy who would then have your belt lost to your light heavyweight champion. Who? Let's remember. See, you've forgotten because of all the insanity.
I have forgotten.
You've entirely forgotten the fact that up until all the insanity with John Jones, we were pegging him at heavyweight the next fight, anyways. Oh, John Jones, he's going to jump. He's going to jump. He's going to jump. We were doing that 3 years ago. Every time John had a fight, oh, he's going to jump. Oh, he's going to jump. That's his next move because he was in that contention for greatest fighter on the planet. So we were assuming he'd move.
And little did we know he was actually going to jump to prostitute finishing work. So
sandblasting. Why would you even need to do that to a prostitute?
I don't have any idea.
That's what makes it so funny.
That is, I don't think that's what makes it
funny. That's what makes it so funny.
I really don't think that's it.
You don't think so?
Okay, so before we leave for the week, I do want to talk about this California plan that was just rolled out today, which is Tuesday. It is the largest set of weight-cutting regulations in the United States, and it's been approved by the California State Athletic Commission. It's a 10-point plan to combat what Ken and I have been talking about, this extreme weight cutting and severe dehydration. And so within this, I won't bore you with all of the details, but I'll give you just kind of the high points of it. Any fighter who misses weight will be fined 20% of all bonuses, which include win bonuses. Full bonus fine will go to the opponent who made weight. 20% of the fine, the show money, half to the opponent, half to the commission will remain. Repeat weight miss offenders will be recommended to go up to the next weight class, meaning they could hold the license over them and not approve them to fight in the class that they missed their weight.
Oh, really?
A fight day weight check will be implemented to see how much fighters have gained back between weigh-ins and the fight. If they gain back more than 10%, they will be recommended to move up to the next weight class. Additionally,
okay, I'm just going to stop you just for a second.
Okay.
Because you've said it a couple. What is this recommended? Are there any teeth in this thing at the end of what we're saying?
No teeth yet, because I haven't actually read through all the things. I just wanted to make sure that we got this out there and talked about it. Additional weight classes will be added in the state of California at 165, 175, your beloved 195,
whoa,
and 225.
So wait, they're instituting new weight classes.
Yes.
But that essentially doesn't mean anything unless the UFC decides to run belts at those class. I'm sorry, Vince McMahon, championships.
Yes. So you know, it's worth noting that even if the promoters, which they all have supported this plan, they all have, that does not mean they have to adopt those weight classes. It just means that their options in the state of California.
So, okay, let's take a step back. You've got the numbers in front of you, so forgive me if I'm missing something. We're running 135, 145, 155 in the UFC.
Yes.
There would be an option at 165.
Yep.
175, 185.
95.
195. So we go to
185 is already a weight class.
Right. I'm talking about California. Oh, I guess. Okay. That's why I'm getting a little confused. So 185, 195. So basically, they want to do 10-pound weight classes.
Correct.
Through 205.
The other thing that's interesting to this is the ability to do 30 and 10-day weight checks. That way the regulators can see if it's safe for the fighter to make weight. An example would be if a fighter is contracted to be at 155 and they're 195, I should say, 30 days out, they will contact the promoter and the medical committee to talk about if that fight is safe to continue.
So that's a 40-pound difference for 100. Well, I guess I'd wonder which weight that would be at. They'd be calling it 195, like 40 pounds at the 195. It's interesting. It's interesting because the one thing I kept hearing with that, and I'm always that dude, like, recommended. Does that mean, are we going to do anything? Everything sounds interesting there.
I think.
But are they doing anything?
It was voted in, and I would say recommended right now is probably the verbiage they're using. But I would imagine that, Ken, if you missed weight for you missed weight for the first fight, and they say, hey, you should go up to 165 or 170, right? And you say, no, I'm doing 155, and you miss it the next time, maybe they don't license you.
Okay, but they haven't statutorily put that together yet.
No, but I mean, they could always obviously go back and
again,
fix
they might
it.
They it might be like New York, where they let Daniel Cormier weigh in twice. Where we within our authority, we're going to, but it's a lot easier within authority or quote unquote to allow things than to disallow things, because
yes,
that's where the lawyers and the managers and the promoters are going to get together and go, wait, you're just destroyed my card because you recommended something. You don't have the juice to do this. You don't have the teeth in your legislation to do this. So that's where this is all going to shake out. An interesting set of recommendations at this point, but that's how I read it, recommendations at this point.
But I think a step in the right direction.
Of course. Of course. But not maybe as groundbreaking as some of the headlines where they want you to click are going to perceive them to be or wish them to be.
You don't think adding 4 weight classes and starting to do 30-day weight checks?
4 weight classes that don't necessarily have to be implemented by any promoters, and weight checks where there could be recommendations because of a certain weight for a certain weight division. again, a big step, but you're going to see headlines out there that are misnomers. What's your headline on the story?
Oh, I'm sure it's,
that you're reading?
I'm sure it's clickbait. CSAC passes groundbreaking package of weight cutting.
I don't think it's groundbreaking. I think it's a big step, but the way I read that headline says, wow, there's been some new laws and rules. I didn't hear a new law or a rule in there. I heard a lot of recommendations and a little bit of advice. Am I wrong? You seem disappointed.
Well, no. I mean, here is an actual rule.
Okay.
All fighters who miss weight find 20% of all bonuses. And
but that's essentially what we've got now. It just goes from 10 to 20.
Does it currently go to the commission? I don't think it goes to the commission.
No, but I mean, yeah, there's a higher fee or a fine, I should say. Is that groundbreaking that the fine's bigger?
And then it goes to the commission? Yeah, I think that's pretty groundbreaking.
It's interesting. I don't know if it's groundbreaking. It doesn't really affect anything.
It's world-changing.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
It's the most amazing thing I've read this
What's
hour.
What's funny is I would have thought Eric wrote the legislation the way he's reacting to my reaction.
Well, no, you just know that this is the thing that I'm super passionate about in
I
this
just
sport.
I don't hear anything.
Because I would much rather we have 22 Frankie Edgars who cut 3 pounds as opposed to anybody who cuts 50 pounds.
The thing is, you're saying is, but you're, I get it. I'm with you. I'm agreeing with you. It just, there's no teeth in that.
I just
that.
Don't know why you're not agreeing
there's
with
no
me.
There's no teeth in that legislation. That's all I'm saying. You're excited because the terrible California State Athletic Commission is going to get more money.
I'm excited.
That's what you're hanging your hat on.
Here's what I'm excited about, that the terrible California Athletic Commission is better than the terrible New York Athletic Commission.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm
baby
excited
steps.
About.
Baby steps, ladies and gentlemen.
In the right gentlemen. Direction. As always, you can
no
catch up.
Sandblasting.
You can catch up with everything on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.